This is FM 100.5 and 101.9. AM 1450, Rutherford County's place to talk. WGNS, Murfreesboro, your good neighbor station. This is The Truman Show with Truman Jones. A look at the politics, news, sports, and people that are shaping Rutherford County. Now your host, Truman Jones.
Good afternoon, Rutherford County. I'll let you know that part of this show is brought to you by At Home Care. And they're listed at 237 Castlewood Drive, Suite H, right behind the Kroger's on Memorial Boulevard. And if you're reached the stage in your life where you're having trouble taking care of your home and the normal duties, and you feel like that maybe you might be better off going somewhere else, well, don't jump the gun on that, because there is a place that you can call. And you can call the number of 713-4639, 713-4639, or reach them on the internet, www.athomecaretennessee.com. And that's Melissa Warren's business. And what they do is they will come out to your home and make sure that you're able to stay there and still enjoy the quality of life that you deserve as you get older or maybe having some medical problems. And they will ensure that once you make that decision, it will be the right decision, and it will be one of the most wonderful things that has happened to you in a long, long time. And let me give you that number again. It's 713-4639. And I have a great guest on today, a man I've known for some time. Go to church with him. And know him from different areas, and had a lot of conversations with Mr. Tom Autry. And Tom, it is a pleasure to have you here today.
Truman, it's good to be here. And if you know, I listen to you most every day. And if we can get through this this session without getting you and me both thrown out of here, we'll be doing good.
Well, you know, we always take a chance. We live on the edge.
Sure we do.
Yeah. You know, once you get our age, we kind of got a little bucket list that we want to do. And that's part of it. So, you know, why worry?
Well, there you go. Do you know why sweat small stuff?
That's right. You enjoy life. And that's what I've always said. Now, you did not grow up in this area, did you?
No, I didn't. I'm a Georgia boy, as you know.
Mm-hmm. And I'm glad, and I really appreciate you not wearing your Georgia stuff
today. I started to. Ben's Georgia spanked Tennessee.
Oh, let's not bring that up.
Past Saturday. Yes. And I'm going, hopefully, and see them spank Vanderbilt, so we'll be the Tennessee state champs again.
You know, that's not a really big deal this year, I'm afraid.
Well, when you can't play for the national championship, you can play for the championship of Tennessee.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
that's next best thing.
Yeah.
I'm married to a Vol, you know, so we've got a house divided when it comes to Tennessee.
Well, I'm on Norma's side, I can tell you that.
Well, I tell you what, she's not quite as pleasant when Georgia beats Tennessee.
You mean there is a time in your relationship that Norma is not smiling? I have never seen her when she didn't have just a sweetest smile on her face.
I tell you what, the last thing she told me this morning when she walked out the door going to work, don't embarrass us.
Mm-hmm.
So hopefully I'm not going to embarrass her. But she's my whole world, Truman. She's the greatest thing that ever happened to me.
But let's go back before Norma. Now, you're growing up in Georgia. Tell me what it's like.
Columbus, Georgia.
Growing up in a state that's not really up to Tennessee standard.
Well, you know, that's a matter of opinion. But, Truman, I'm a couple of 3 or 4 years ahead of you. You know,
just a couple.
We discussed ages before we come on there. And I grew up in a poor type neighborhood. My papa worked at my grandpapa raised me,
mm-hmm.
and he worked at a woolen mill, Columbus.
Oh, wow.
Woolen mill.
Yeah,
and we'd go fishing about every Saturday morning when I got up old enough to go fish.
Mm-hmm.
And papa had an old 37 Chevrolet truck with a homemade body on it, and we'd load up everything. We'd go up to Goat Rock Dam, either there or Bartlett's Ferry, mm-hmm. spend a night.
Oh, wow.
You know, but before we went on Thursday, we'd go.
Just you and your granddaddy.
Me and my granddaddy. Wow. Maybe Tom Todd or old man Pruitt,
mm-hmm.
would go. we put out a trot line. And but on Thursday we'd go behind the woolen mill and dig worms. Mm-hmm. That was our baits, mm-hmm. you know. And we'd spend a night up there. And but growing up, went to school. I can the only time that I can really remember my grandmother mm-hmm. getting upset was she got upset with my second grade teacher.
Oh wow!
And I had a lot of trouble keeping my mouth shut, you know, and she hollered.
I'm glad people never change.
She hollered at me and told me that if I didn't shut my mouth, she's going to throw the racer at me. Well,
oh, wow.
She did. Mm. She threw the racer at me, and I went, you know, of course, I told my grandmother when I got home. My granny went up there the next day, mm-hmm. and she told her that you better not never throw a racer at my granny.
That's unusual. Usually they grab the paddle and let you have it.
Now I've been paddled by some of my teachers. Miss mm-hmm. Blanton, my third grade teacher, used to wear the palm of my hand out with mm-hmm. a ruler.
Oh, I've had that done. Mine was in the first grade, so I was a little bit ahead of you.
But growing up in a neighborhood, I grew up in an old shotgun house. Mm-hmm. If you can picture it, my grandmother lived in one, and my aunt lived right next door to her. And then my biological mother lived there mm-hmm. in the next one. So we lived in the three right there together. Still know the addresses of them, but you couldn't drive a car between them. So that's where we played. We had chickens, Pop had chickens, and of course the neighborhood kids around. You know, we played football and we played baseball just mm-hmm. like you and Bud did.
Right.
Only the only difference, we played football in the middle of the road, a dirt mm. road, you know. And you tried your best to be tackled in the sand bed on the side of the road, you know. If not, you'd get skinned up pretty good. And we played ball in the middle of the road.
You know, were there many paved roads back there in that area? Because I remember even growing up here, we had very few paved roads.
Just the main roads, Truman, Bibb City, heading up to Bibb City. Mm-hmm. I forget the name of the road. Over in Winton Hill, that was the affluent section of town. Of course, mm-hmm. all of them was paved over there.
Did you have electricity?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had electricity.
Indoor?
No, we didn't have indoor. Well, we had in-house bathroom. Mm-hmm. And indoor, the water was on the back porch. Mm-hmm. You come out of the shotgun, turn to the left, and there was a bathroom.
Hmm.
And my granny, bless her heart, on cold, cold mornings, before she'd let me go out there to the bathroom, she'd go out and sit on it and warm the stool up for me.
Oh, bless her heart.
And then I'd go out there.
That's taking that. One for the young'un.
I'm telling you. And never seen no two people more in love than my papa and granny.
You know, it had to have been special growing up with somebody like that because, you know, grandparents are different than parents anyway.
Sure they are.
And they seem to have a little bit more, they're calmer and looser with you. I mean, they're going to make sure that you mind, but it's a different style of raising kids.
It is. My papa whipped me, I can't remember, more than four or five times. The whole time that I was growing up. But now my granny has tore my legs up, made me go out and cut a peach switch mm-hmm. off the peach tree. I remember one time that she tore my legs up one time, and I'm telling you what, just broke my heart really more than it hurt me. So I went outside and found me a rock, and I scratched my legs in two or three places. Made whips on them. Made one
what
of them
a devious
bleed.
Little fella.
Made one of them bleed a little bit. And then I went back in the house and I told her, Granny, look what you've done. I seen you, young man. I was standing right here at the window when I seen you. And then she sure enough tore me up.
Your papa was your best friend, wasn't he?
Greatest man to ever live, Truman.
Isn't it funny? And all the people that have touched our lives, they've become so special. And it seems like that we appreciate them more as we get older and remember them and remember what they did for us.
You know, like we were talking before, my papa was a big man, had a big old nose, kind of like mine, only it wasn't beat up quite as bad as mine. But
yeah, Norma's done a good job on that nose.
Well, farm tap done that. But anyway, it'd be hard for me to keep up with my granddaddy a lot of times. And I'd think I heard him say something. I'd say, "What'd you say, Papa?" And he'd say, "Well, I didn't say nothing. That was God talking to you. You better listen to him." And he caught me out. I was driving a nail in something one Sunday. And he come out the door, and he made me pull that nail out. He said, "Boy, you're building your coffin, so you need to pull that nail out of there." So that was just one of his.
Boy, he was a smart fellow, wasn't he?
I'm telling you, he was.
You were very fortunate to have him. And you went on, and you moved away from there.
I moved away from there. Moved to Florida. Moved to Florida where I was in the crane. You know, I operated a crane for a while. And then I got in the pipeline business.
Now, that is very interesting, because I know that you've had a big career in the pipeline.
Oh, yeah. It's been awful good to me, Truman. I've seen it from all sides, from being a rig hand, traveling and welding with my own rig, to working for a contractor as a foreman, working for a utility company. And then working on the engineering side of it, and then the inspection side of it. And I've enjoyed every bit of it. You know, I used to think, well, now I can't hardly wait till I can start inspecting. I'm going to give me some fellers a hard road to hoe. But, you know, Truman, I couldn't do it because I know what they're going through to try to make a dollar.
That's a tough job, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It really is.
You started from the bottom and worked all the way through.
I did.
Learned it from inside out.
I did. Taught myself to weld, and I remember old King Smith was a pipeliner, and I met him in Miami, Florida. And, of course, I could already weld a little bit uphill, and they call that building trade welding. And he's the one that taught me the technique of welding downhill. And, oh, I just thought that was the greatest thing in the world. And so, hey, I burned rod after rod after rod. And then, hey, I took my first welding test with Atlanta Gaslight and, you know, passed it. Did several jobs for Atlanta Gaslight for a contractor. And then I had told my wife then when my oldest son got in school that I'd get off the road, that I'd come off the road. Which I did.
You did a lot of traveling in the job.
Did a lot of traveling. I've been all over the United States working other than the Great Northwest. Hadn't been up there.
What about Alaska?
No, didn't go. Had a chance.
I am surprised you didn't go to Alaska.
Had a chance to go. Forrest King, who is a contractor in Georgia, in the state of Georgia, tried his best to get me to go up there. He had a contract to double joint some of that big pipe. And it was just, you know, it was too cold and it was too expensive. And at the time, I would have had to probably knock my wife in the head to go up there anyway. You know,
but well, I've had friends that were up there, and the winter time up in that area is so miserable, and you're so confined because you cannot go anywhere at any length. You'll freeze to death. I mean, it was that way. But that's one of the big wonders of the world that we've created. Is that Alaskan pipeline?
Sure.
And
it
seemed like that we do not utilize that as much as we should.
I tell you another wonder that, of course, that they put a moratorium on it. This administration that we've got put a moratorium on it is offshore drilling.
Yeah, now that is really...
That's fascinating.
Yeah.
That's fascinating, and laying pipeline off the back of a barge,
mm-hmm.
you know, that's interesting.
Have you been on one of those big barges and watch them actually drill down into the ocean and into the ground floor?
No, I haven't. I haven't been on one before. I've been out to one,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't been there when they started.
Mm-hmm.
But now this directional drilling today that the pipeline industry is using, along with the phone industry.
Mm-hmm.
Matter of fact, they just did some directional drilling down here on Broad Street.
Hmm. What is the difference when they use directional drilling?
You can control the head of the drill,
uh-huh.
as opposed to auger drilling, auger boring. directional drilling has a son in a head, and the head's got a duckbill, kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
And you steer it by turning that duckbill one way or the other.
Hmm.
And they've drilled as far as 5-6 miles with it. But these folks down here on Broad was putting in telephone cable, putting on telephone casing for the cable.
Which, there's some similarities when you're drilling that way, or for water, gas, anything.
Right. It's the same principle, and they have big machines that will pull a 36-inch pipe, you know, a mile of pipe. And that's you know, it's just fascinating. When I first started out in business, I went in business in 60. Let's see, Chris Moore in 60. I went in business in 65.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 65. I went in business down South Georgia, in Brunswick, Georgia.
Mm-hmm.
And when I started out, they didn't even have a plow that you plow the, you could plow the cable in.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was either hand dug or dug with the ditching machine.
Not a whole lot of rock down there, though, is it?
No, no.
Okay.
No, no. Matter of fact, we used to, if we had two services right together, the two men that was digging a bell hole with a shovel would race to see which one could get it done the quickest.
Hmm.
And you know, we was talking about costs a while ago. If I had just saved a nickel, Truman, a foot for every foot of pipe that I put in the ground over my career, you know.
You'd be a wealthy man.
I'd be more than wealthy. You know, me and who is it, Warren Buffett? Not Jimmy Buffett.
But yeah, Warren Buffett, yeah.
Yeah, me and Warren Buffett would be best BFF, best friends.
Oh, you'd be living down in Florida in Xanadu, Citizen Kane's house right
there
now.
There you go. But, you know, it took that nickel a foot to get by. You know, when I was in business, there was several weeks that I didn't get paid, but so I could pay my people.
Wow.
You know, the company be kind of slack on paying the invoices. And
have you ever seen them drill for oil in any? Of course, most of that's done in Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
What is that like? Because that absolutely fascinates me. That when they first hit pay dirt and that oil comes gushing up through there.
Well, it doesn't come gushing up every time.
Okay.
You know, they've that was the Wildcatters back in those days.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of one that you know, you and I have talked about, one of the Dukes, one of the Dukes movies. You know, I know mm-hmm. you're a big Duke fan as well as I am.
Yeah.
Hellfighters.
Yeah. Red O'Dare's life, I think.
Red O'Dare.
Yeah, yeah.
Red O'Dare.
Uh-huh.
He, was based on him and Coots Matthew and Boots Hanson.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I met Boots Hanson. Mm-hmm. I met him.
I bet that was interesting.
Oh, it was. It was. He's the only one of the three that's still living. He's retired down
wow.
in Florida. Coots is dead. And
has anybody actually taken their place?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Boots and Coots had a falling out with Red O'Dare.
Oh, okay.
And they formed a company called Boots and Coots Wild Well Company.
Mm-hmm.
And they did the same thing Red O'Dare did. And then, of course, Red O'Dare sold out to a company down Lafayette, Louisiana.
Let's take a quick break because I don't want to have any lapses because I love these stories. I want to let you know that part of the show is brought to you by Stan McNabb Automotive, where they provide quality vehicles from Chevrolet, Dodge, Jeep, Ford, and Cadillac to the Murfreesboro, McMinnville, and Shelbyville, Tennessee area. Their large selection ensures that they have a vehicle for everyone, no matter what it is you're looking for. And for a quality used car in Tullahoma, visit their dealership located at 2000 North Jackson Street. They have a large inventory of pre-owned cars, trucks, SUVs, and minivans to select from. At Stan McNabb Automotive, they pride themselves in the quality that they offer on all of their used cars, which makes them a major destination for used vehicles. And they have one other advantage that no one else has. And you, for whether it's a used car or a new car, for the life of that vehicle, you have free oil changes and tires for the life of the vehicle.
Hello, this is Jim Bryan at First Bank.
And I'm Chuck Lewis. First Bank presents Good Neighbor Events, news of what our local schools, churches, and community groups are doing.
Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank. Recycle those telephone books. You can bring them to the Smyrna Middle School parking lot, the Haley Road Recycling Center, the Blackman Middle School parking lot, or the Black Fox Elementary School parking lot. And that's now through October the 24th. This is a service of Recycle Rutherford and AT&T. An open house at the Rutherford County Juvenile Justice Center from 4:30 until 6:30 on Thursday afternoon, October the 20th. Aspiring artists, writers, actors, and creative-minded teens will once again have a chance to come together and meet with some industry professionals. If that's you, take advantage of Read to Succeed's Art is the Movement on Wednesday, October the 26th. The conference is tuition-free, and it's open to all 9th through the 12th grade students in Rutherford County's public, private, and home schools. Call Read to Succeed for information at 995-9535. That's Wednesday, October 26th. And I'd like to personally invite you to join me at the Heart Walk, Sunday, October the 30th, on the campus at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. The activities begin at 1 o'clock that afternoon, and the walk begins at 3 o'clock. Not only is this to raise money for the local Heart Association, but it's to raise awareness for heart disease, which still is the number one killer of men and women. And thanks to our local physicians, after a triple bypass surgery this past June, I'm here to encourage you to join me in the Heart Walk, Sunday, October 30th, at Middle Tennessee Medical Center. We'll be broadcasting from there and look forward to seeing you. Good Neighbor Events brought to you by First Bank.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic is more than just a clinic. It's the doctors you can trust, a technician you can believe in, and a staff member who goes the extra mile. From the time someone walks in our doors, the difference becomes evident. All of our resources are used to improve the healthcare experience of our patients, and we have been a part of Rutherford and surrounding counties for over 60 years. Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
Murfreesboro Medical Clinic.
The Middle Tennessee Christian School annual Fall Festival is this weekend. During the Fall Festival on Saturday, the halls and grounds of MTCS are transformed into a fun-filled arena of carnival games, upscale shopping in the gym, delicious food, and live auction entertainment featuring Ted Beatty. So join MTCS this Saturday for the annual Fall Festival. Come hungry because there will be a barbecue lunch. The MTCS Fall Festival, 9 a.m. till 2 on Saturday, auction at 4.
Hey, Jack, you got a sec? Jack, your hair's on fire.
Yeah, I know. I just need to finish the sales report and then I'll lie down for a bit.
But shouldn't I?
No, I'll be fine.
You wouldn't ignore this, so why ignore the signs of a stroke? If you or someone you know suddenly has trouble speaking, seeing, or walking, call 911 right away, because time lost is brain lost. To find out more, visit www.strokeassociation.org or call 1-888-4-STROKE. This message brought to you by the American Stroke Association and the Ad Council.
Are you struggling with too much credit card debt, sky-high interest rates, having trouble just making the monthly minimums? We're Credit Card Relief. We've helped thousands of people become debt-free in months instead of years, all while saving thousands of dollars. The consultation is free, and the relief is real. Call Credit Card Relief, 866-333-9191. That's 866-333-9191. Not available in all states.
Sausage and biscuits, gravy and grits, home ground, homemade, it'll get you fits. Blueberry pancakes and corn cakes too, I'm a-licking my lips, now how about you? Readyville Mill, I said get yourself to the Readyville Mill. Readyville Mill, I said get yourself to the Readyville Mill. Billy.
And you're listening to John Blankenship and Friends, the band. And in the band is Avant Lane, Ken and Sarah Frizzell, Billy Yearwood. And I enjoy going out there so much on Saturday mornings from 8 a.m. to 1 p.m. And you get away from the normal hubbub of going on in the city or wherever you are and go out back 200 years in time. And Tom Brady did such a wonderful job of refurbishing the old mill. And now it's one of the few working mills still in existence in the United States. And it's such a glorious scene. You have the river running around it. And the people are so nice. And you meet a lot of your old friends, and you make a lot of new friends while you're there. And if you would like to give them a call, it's 563-6455 or on the internet, www.readyvillemill.com. And it's about 10-minute drive down John Bragg Highway. And then on your left, you'll see the sign saying Readyville Mill. Take that road. It's 2 more miles. Go in, and you'll have the time of your life. Have you been there yet, Tom?
No.
I'm surprised.
No,
you're not that far away from the Readyville Mill.
No, I haven't been. I've been trying to get Norma Jean to go, but...
What's her problem?
Who knows? We wind up at Cracker Barrel.
Cracker Barrel?
Cracker Barrel. That's closer to the shop.
Well, I mean, there's nothing wrong with Cracker Barrel. It's a great place, but where are you going to find something like the Readyville Mill? It's a once-in-a-lifetime. Put that on your bucket list.
That's on my bucket list.
All right. Let's get back to this oil drilling stuff now. And we were talking about Red Adair and his cohorts.
Coots and Boots. Red sold out to a company called Global Industries out of Lafayette, Louisiana. Mm-hmm. Red was 89 when he died.
Oh, my.
Died in 2004.
So he didn't go out with his boots on.
No. And then Coots died. And like I say, Boots is retired down in Florida. And I was reading on the internet, which I very rarely do, but I was reading on the internet where he's fixing to get a 2011 award somewhere over in Denmark for something. He was going to be a main speaker.
How could it have been that here in the United States... of course, we've probably done as much oil drilling or more than any of the other countries. How did we end up with the number one expert on extinguishing fires inside those shafts? Because, I mean, I have seen not only the movie, but I've also seen footage of those things actually going on, and I think he was there at some of those footages.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, Red had in his people... had part of the Kuwait fires, you know, when they set all of those, there was 900-something of them set.
Wow.
As well as Coots and Boots was over there,
They were purposely set.
They were purposely set by the, you know, they were expecting them to set maybe 200, but it wound up setting 900-something. Oil wells on fire, if you can imagine that.
I wonder how many of those they were actually able to extinguish before they lost a large amount of oil. Yeah.
I don't know, but they extinguished every one of them. And you know, the principle, Truman, is just like blowing out a match.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take all the oxygen away from it.
And what do they use? I've seen it, but they know a whole lot more than what I know.
They start off using dynamite.
Right.
And they still use a form of dynamite to blow it. Mm-hmm. And what they're doing is just taking the oxygen out of the air.
So that explosion just erupts, and then all the air is just blown away, and then you're left there with that void.
That's right. That's right. And then the oil comes up. But if there's a spark, it comes out now. If they left a spark somewhere, it'll... What it does, it ignites the natural gas that's coming up with the...
Now, how do you get close enough to let the dynamite go down to where you need it?
Remember the movie?
Yeah, right.
Well, they
is that an accurate movie?
That's a close movie. That's a close movie.
Oh, that's pretty dangerous.
Sure it is, but that's a close movie. I'm sure I haven't seen one put out in years, but I'm sure that they perfected it, Truman, just like everything else. You know.
Well, now I'm sure that they've got the mechanics where they don't have to get as close, and you can do it by computer or whatever.
I'd say you're probably right. You know, it's been years.
Did you ever want to do it?
No. I need to turn it on. when I'd make a hot tie-in was close enough to me. Mm-hmm. You know, that's when you can't get all the gas out of the line, and of course when you're welding it up, you weld everything up right to the except to the top. You know, and then weld that top up, snuff it out. And I have welded some that I have welded a coupling on and put a stack back behind the weld to get it up above the ditch line and light it on fire.
Hmm.
And have a man up there and just tell him, say, as long as that fire is burning, we're all right. But if the fire goes out, you let me know, I'm getting out of here.
That's why when you drive by these big oil rigs and you see the fire, I've always wondered. That looks like that's wasting
gas. That's natural gas coming off the oil well. There's a certain amount of natural gas in the oil as it comes up. Uh-huh. You know, most natural gas wells are spent oil wells.
Mm-hmm.
They've drained the oil well. They've drained the oil out of the cavity. Hmm. And that's where the natural gas comes from. It comes out. It's raw gas. There's no smell.
Mm-hmm.
It's what's called green gas.
Mm-hmm.
They clean it up before they put it in the cross-country pipelines.
Does natural gas come from around shale rock and stuff like that?
There is. They are developing a technique to get it out of shale rock. Now there's still a world of natural gas in shale rock.
We're sitting on a fortune here, aren't we?
Well, I don't know, but you know, down the Everglades, there's several. I forget how many. There's more than 50 wells that's capped down there in the Everglades.
Mm-hmm.
That because of the I forget what Rush Limbaugh calls them, but because of the environmental people, you know, they wouldn't let them pump no more. So they kept every one of them down there.
Do you think, all right, let me ask you, you're an expert, and I consider you an expert in that field. Do you think that when we go out and we drill for oil and we hit oil, do you think that is a hazard to the environment around in that area? Because over the years, I have seen so many things that were considered bad for nature in this area, where it was a snail darter in Columbia, Tennessee, or whatever. And they're always butting their heads with trying to create things that are good for mankind as far as being able to take care of the utilities and water and things like that. Why is there such a division there between the two
sides?
They're
hung up back in the old days, Truman, when we didn't have this modern technology that we have today. Those environmental people are still hung up back in the 30s and 40s when the wildcatting was going on, you know.
Right.
And when they drilled a well, hey, here it come, and everything was black around it.
Mm.
And, of course, this thing with BP that spilt all that oil down in the Gulf. Truman, that's one of them things. You know, it's hard to explain. It could have been a bad control valve, and you know they have crucified BP for that, and because BP is the owner of that well, you know it'd be like me coming on your property and slipping and falling and suing you
right
because you own the property
right.
See, and that's.
But it was a natural thing that caused it. Nature came in, and with all that force.
That's right.
And I'm sure that it always gives you a chance to look at it in a way that you can maybe the next time something like that happens, you can take care of it with a little bit better, with stronger or however the. It has to be in there. But let me tell you something. I was down there after all that was going on. Mm-hmm. And they had a large space that would hold maybe 500 or 600 cars in front of where we have a place down there. Mm-hmm. They would come there every morning. They'd get there with their little suits on and their little golf carts and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. They would drive the beach looking for things that may be harmful to the beach or to the animals there on the beach. I never once saw them find anything. I found no oil on the beach where we were, and they kept putting out, you know, that how bad it was in that area. Mm-hmm. It was not bad in that area, and it seems like a lot of times it's more how people perceive it than anything else, or maybe we overreact a lot of times to those type situations. But it absolutely floored me to see those people out every morning going out walking. I'm sure that they're getting paid. I mean,
sure they are.
It helped the local industry because they stopped the fishermen from going out in certain areas and fishing, and I'm sure that gave them something to do. But basically, they weren't doing anything.
Well, you know, we went down to Charlie Barber's last year, maybe it was
Pensacola.
Last year, Pensacola, mm-hmm. And they had the same people riding up and down.
Did you see anything happen?
I didn't see them pick up nothing. You know, if they picked up anything, it might have been a shell.
And the water looked just the same.
But you know, Truman, it's you know, I feel bad that all of the fishermen didn't have a chance to go out and, mm-hmm. and kill some shellfish and mm-hmm. so on and so forth. But you know, why crucify someone for something that happened?
Oh, they were the villain. I mean,
sure
all,
they were.
And every news media you could hear or read or see.
Sure.
I mean, they were the bad guys.
They were the bad guys. But you know, it's. I was planning on going out and doing some inspection this summer, mm-hmm. until you know that I got this diagnosis of the small cell carcinoma in my mm-hmm. lungs. And as you know, I've been I've been going to taking radiation, been mm-hmm. taking chemotherapy, and we've got a place here that you know, I don't know if Murfreesboro is aware of it or not. It's Tennessee it's Tennessee Oncology.
A great place. Great
I mean,
place.
You know, the people there, Truman, the nurses are the sweetest things in the world. Mm-hmm. You know, I can name them all, just about name them all. Dr. John Barton is my doctor. Mm-hmm. But I have a silver-haired angel. Her name's Kathy Grant.
Kathy Grant.
She's a nurse practitioner. Mm-hmm. And she's just the sweetest thing in the world. Her and Aaron Fennell, she's another nurse practitioner. And the girls over in oncology, I have a port up here that it's where they give me my chemo. Mm-hmm. And I usually have a lot of fun with them. They, you know, when particularly if one hadn't stuck me in a while, you know, I said, "Now you ain't gonna hurt me, are you?" And she'd say, "No." And about the time she puts the alcohol swab on us, I said, "No, ow, ow." You know, but they are just the sweetest things. Judy and Lash and Teresa and Carrie, bless her heart, she's just an angel.
Tell me what it's like, because I have a lot of friends that's going through this, very similar to you. Tell us what it's like from the time they tell you, and then once they start getting you better and all the things that they have to do.
Well, I tell you what, Truman, this is my third go-round with cancer. In 1984, I had lymphoma, large cell lymphoma. Mm-hmm. Now that, you know, I thought I was... They give me a 50-40 chance of living, you know, mm-hmm. and I thought, well, this is it, mm-hmm. you know. But they give me what they call Adriamycin. They call it the Red Death nowadays. Mm-hmm. But and I survived that. And then in 2005, I had prostate cancer. And Dr. Brian Lee over at Tennessee Oncology implanted 226 radioactive seeds in my prostate and killed it. And I've gotten over that and had good checkups ever since. And then this came along in April. That's when I was diagnosed. And I tell you what, it took the wind out of my sails. Norma and I cried about it quite a bit, two or three days. And, you know, I told her, I said, hey, you know, I'm going to put this in God's hands, and that's where I'm going to leave it. You know, and if it's His will, we're going to survive it. If not, we won't.
Couldn't put them in better hands.
Well, I tell you what, Truman, that's what I have done. between the folks that He's responsible for them being there, God is, at Tennessee Oncology, and Him and my faith in God has got me through this thing. And there's not a doubt in my mind that I'm not going to beat this. You know,
well, I can tell you, you still look great, and you still got that vitality.
Well, you know, I think that's a lot of it is your attitude. For bless their heart, I see some of the folks that come in over there. It just breaks my heart.
Well, I have been in there before, and I was telling you earlier, they used to let me go in and sit with some of the people, and you kind of get a fraternity of with the people that are going through the same thing that you're going through,
sure.
And you can relate a whole lot better, and you get to sit there, and it's almost like you're in a den with somebody when you're going through some of that stuff.
It is, but some of them, you know, some of them are mad because they have it. Some of them are just tore all the people, all the pieces. And then you've got other people that's dealing with it their own way. You know, my four sons. I have four sons. I have three biological sons, and then of course there's Brent, my stepson, which is no different than my biological sons. Brent and Brett and Toby they're dealing with this. I hear from them most every day or most every other day. But my oldest son, Chris, the one that followed in my footsteps on the pipeline, he's having to deal with it his own way, which has been pretty tough on him.
And you call him the pipeline, don't you?
Oh, yeah, he's a pipeliner. He's a pipeline.
I'm going to get right back to this. And I want to let you know that part of this show is brought to you by our newest sponsor, and it's Blue Restaurant and Bar. And this portion of the show is brought to you by Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. They have something for everyone on their menu, from steaks, fresh seafood, pastas, salads, appetizers, and special items unique to Blue. They have six items for lunch at 6, and then enjoy their Sunday Live Jazz Brunch beginning at 10 a.m. with music from Larry Pinkerton and Avant Lane. Whether it's enjoying the courtyard at dinner, the game on the big screen TVs, or piano music Friday and Saturday evenings, there's something for everyone at Blue. Blue Restaurant and Bar, located in the Jackson Heights Plaza. Be sure to visit their website at blue-restaurant.com. That's Blue Restaurant and Bar, owners Marty Brown and Greg Pogue.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Fall in love with Murfreesboro's newest Italian restaurant, Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday on Broad in the Old Shoney's location.
Enjoy 79 menu items under $6.99. Pizza, salad, subs, pita wraps, calzones, strombolis. With a menu like Gondolier's, there's something for everyone. Gondolier Italian Restaurant and Pizza.
Grand opening on Monday
on Broad in the Old Shoney's location.
Weather on.
5.
Mainly cloudy this afternoon with scattered showers and isolated thunderstorms. Temperatures hold fairly steady. Tonight, cloudy with an isolated shower early on and gradual clearing. I'm WGNS meteorologist Laura Lockwood. Right now, it's 68.
Our good neighbor of the day today is Leanne Carmack. Today, Leanne is going to receive free flowers, compliments of Ryan's Flower Shop. Ryan's Flower Shop is located at 117 South Academy Street in Murfreesboro.
You're listening to The Truman Show on WGNS, AM and FM. Now, back to Truman Jones.
And welcome back with Tom Ocker, my good friend, and somebody I enjoy a great deal. And you're talking about how your son Pipeline is dealing with it. And I know that's very difficult because everybody relates different to those type of things.
Sure they do. but, you know, I don't have any problem with it. He calls me from time to time. He's was up in Washington, D.C. just before the earthquake up there that messed up the the Washington Monument, and he was right across from, the Washington Monument was on one side, and I forget what he said was on the other side of it. They were replacing some pipe there, and he sent me some pictures, they're on the internet now, that shows the Washington Monument looking past his welding rig.
That's a beautiful sight.
Oh, it is.
Gorgeous.
I've been to Washington one time. but he's dealing with it in his own way, and I'm dealing with it in my way. Truman, I started keeping a journal when I was first diagnosed, and I write in it every day. When I first get up in the morning, I take my temperature and I weigh, you know, and my weight will change, 1 or 2 pounds overnight, believe it or not, because I'm on prednisone, which is a steroid, and it makes me swell, and it, if I drink something, I'll be up 5 or 6 times during the night, you know, and I call it the pee brigade. So, in my journal.
That is, you know, it's a wonderful medicine, but it is an awful medicine because you cannot rest. It's just, I said when they gave me steroids, I had a bad infection one time, and they gave me prednisone. I believe that I could have run all the way to California without stopping. I mean, instead of sleeping at night, I'd run up and down the steps.
Yeah, you know, I took 35 radiation treatments, and I wound up with pneumonitis. That's pneumonia caused by radiation.
Never heard of it
in my life until this time. But there's a mass in there, and that's the reason they're giving me the prednisone to keep that to try to finally get rid of it. You know, when I get done with this, Kathy Grant, her and I was chatting this last session of chemo, and she said, I told her, I said, Norma Jean, I've been laughing about this thing, about me being cured this time, and I'm not sure how many people has been cured of three different
types
of cancer in a lifetime, and I said, I'm probably going to be in high demand. And she said, well, now, don't you forget, now, I'm your agent. I said, well, I said, let me tell you then. I said, I'm not doing Oprah.
Yeah.
I'm not doing Ellen. Not doing the talk. Not doing the View. But now I'll do the morning shows. Not doing no late shows.
So you're doing the Truman Show right now.
I'm doing the Truman Show right now.
But, you know, I read a book, and my mom gave me this book years ago, and it's just a small one, Tuesdays at Morey's. And it was about a man who was a college professor, and he got Lou Gehrig's disease. And he had one of his students would come over every Tuesday, would talk with him, and he would write down what he was telling him about what was going on with him. And what he would say was, what a blessing it was for him to be able to relate to his student, mm-hmm. and then put that into writing, how it was for him to be able to share mm-hmm. that the what he was going through with that disease. And you know, there was a there's a lot of great lines in that book, but as you were saying what you were saying about writing this down, mm-hmm. to me, that is a great way to deal with almost anything, is be able to, in your own mind,
well,
put
I tell myself how I feel.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's the hardest thing, is to admit how you feel.
Right.
You know, or it is for me, mm-hmm. you know. And the hardest thing for me to deal with, Truman, is Norma Jean doing most of everything, you know, because I don't feel like doing nothing,
mm-hmm.
you know, but I have had two great weeks these past 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
It's been just, I mean, super week. I cut my grass last week.
Wow. But you
took
but
two
me,
days.
You haven't changed a bit except for your hair. That's
well,
the only change.
You know, it's just, it's going to come back.
Oh,
I
yeah.
hope.
Yeah, it
I
is.
Hope.
Back to, it's starting to get thicker, it looks like.
When I put on a pullover shirt, I still check to see if my hair is messed up. But I got to tell you this. We have the greatest class at church. Ralph Williams yeah. teaches our class.
Second greatest.
He has a nickname for most everybody, and Norma Jean is AKA Billie Jean.
Well, see, now, Ralph's wife, Lisa, I think mm-hmm. she just had some surgery,
right.
And, yeah.
She's doing great. She's doing great. Matter of fact, I'll be teaching the class Sunday, because Ralph is going to be down in, he's taking some classes down in Georgia,
mm-hmm.
down in Atlanta.
Yeah, he's going for, what, his doctorate or?
Something.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but
like that.
Well, since he's, you think so much of him, he's doing all that stuff for you. I think the least, while Lisa is recovering, the least that you can do is join, do her part in the choir. And
well,
you think that you can hit her notes?
And
if anybody doesn't know Lisa Williams, she has the most beautiful voice I have ever heard.
She does that, Truman. I tell you, she's a great lady, too.
Yes, she is.
She's a great lady.
She's top notch.
They send me a card. The choir sends me a card every week. And Carol Chadwick is the one that makes it. And mm-hmm. they pin a song in there. And at the end of it, it says, "We're singing for you."
Mm-hmm.
So,
you know, I can tell you, of course, you used to be in our little study group.
Yeah.
And I do miss you, because a lot of times you and I were on the same wavelength when we would have arguments with whoever the teacher would be in the class. And I miss that. I really do. And I miss having you in our class.
Well, we in our class now, there's no wrong answer.
of course, there's never a wrong answer.
And you know, you don't... Well, I'm just going to shut up there, Truman. That's as far as I'm going to go with it. But, you know, hey, I miss being in there with you and Jackie, too.
Well,
you
miss
know,
seeing you
really
and Norma.
Do.
Well, we do get to chat some after church.
We do, occasionally.
It's so good to have you. And this is,
well, the
hour went too fast again. And I really have enjoyed being here with you. And I know the people out there have, because you're such an interesting man, Tom. And one of these days I'm going to have you back on.
Do that. I'd like to do that, Truman. I've got several stories I'd like to tell you.
And when you get ready to go do this new job you're going to be doing next summer, I want to have you on before you go.
All right. We'll do that.
And we'll see you guys tomorrow. Tomorrow is Friday at 2:00.